This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Hello, good evening, everyone. This is Basma Farhat with the People Speak Radio. And I'm sure a lot of people are running around, pulling their hair out, saying, oh, my God, no, she's back. Yes, I'm back for tonight. First of all, I want to say thank you to all my well-wishers. I've had a lot of wonderful prayers and thoughts sent my way, and I really appreciate every one of them, as does my family. And I'm doing great. Thank goodness. And this is really fun. Now, tonight's guests are Edgar E. Cayce, the son of the famous sleeping prophet Edgar Cayce, as well as Edgar Cayce's daughter, who is the granddaughter of the sleeping prophet, Gail Cayce Schwartzer. It's a pleasure having the both of you with us.
Good to be here.
Nice, good to be here.
You know, I don't think there's a lot of people in the world that have not heard of Edward Cayce and his predictions. He's been on, there's been shows done about him. Hundreds of books have been written about him. There is an association that has been, that has evolved completely from the works and the prophecies that Edgar Cayce has predicted in, during his lifetime. It's an amazing situation. Edgar, how do you feel being the son of such an incredible, wonderful human being that has given so much to our planet?
Well, it was interesting growing up. Of course, I was born in Alabama, but his father was in Hopkinsville, started his readings in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, before I was born.
He started as a young boy, didn't he?
Yes.
And do you recall any of the readings? Were you witness to any of this, Edgar, as you were growing up? Is this, or did you have any interaction with any of the people that came and got readings from your father?
Well, yes, I tried to. As I got older, I tried to listen to a lot of them and have readings myself, and my brother did, and it was very interesting.
What are some of the things that came out of the readings that your father did on you, Edgar?
Well, my mother was coming down the steps when we were in Virginia Beach, and I was standing in front of the fireplace with his flannel pajamas on, and some sparks popped out and set them on fire. My mother grabbed me and wrapped the thing around, the towel around me, and put out the flames. But I was in bed for a month or two and out of school for a month or two. And that was the, I had a reading on it, of course, and it told me how to, I've still got the scar, but it told me how to heal it up.
And what were
so
some of the things that...
I followed the instructions of what to put on it and how to heal it, and the scar did get down about half down, and I got tired of putting stuff on it, so I just decided I wasn't going to worry about the scar anymore. But I got so I could walk and get back into playing football and baseball.
And during this time, what were your recollections of your father during this event?
As I said, the recollections I had... Dad was born in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. I wasn't alive then when he was born, when he was giving readings. He was giving readings with he and his wife. She was the one that usually gave the suggestion for the reading. He would simply lie down on a couch or a bed and fold his hands over his stomach, and mother would watch his eyes, and when they would start to flicker a little bit, and she would know that he had entered this self-induced hypnotic trance, and then she could ask the questions about the reading.
Most of them
were physical readings.
Now these readings, this trance-like state that Edgar Cayce entered into, did he ever describe it to?
He didn't remember anything that he was saying in this reading. It was taken down by a stenographer in shorthand and then typed up lately afterwards. So he never remembered a reading, but.
Did he ever call it a name? Did he ever say, I was getting in touch with the consciousness of the universe?
He didn't remember anything about a reading. He would tell about the reading. All he had to know was the person's name and where the person was at the time of the reading. He could be in the room, or he could be in California or Columbus, Ohio, or somewhere else in the country, as long as Dad knew where he was at the time of the reading. That's all he had to know.
What were his thoughts when he heard what he said?
Yeah, well, he was, of course, interested in what he said about a person, but he didn't remember anything that he said about him. It was, of course, he read some of the readings, of course, but he didn't remember a reading that he gave himself.
Some of his prophecies were pretty interesting. Pretty interesting stuff. I mean, Edgar Cayce had prophesied about everything from the Akashic records to reincarnation to and everything in between, including the healing that he talked about.
Yes, I'd say of the readings, he gave about 14,000, a little over 14,000 readings in his lifetime. About 60% of them were physical readings, about 20% were life readings, and a percentage, the other 20% was everything under the sun. So I know how the life reading started was somebody asked him what effect a planet has on his life, and he said, well, it didn't have as much effect as his past incarnations, and he proceeded to give the last two or three incarnations that person had here. And when a family heard this, they all we all wanted to get a life reading, and the family did get all of us, mother and dad and my brother and myself, all had life readings, and it said that we had been a family together before. A lot of times a family had been together two or three times in the lifetime, and a lot of people hadn't been together, and your past incarnations did have an effect, because you carried over your not only memories, not memories always, but of abilities and what you had done, to the kind of work you'd done and what you had learned in past lives.
Do you believe in past lives, Edgar?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think I don't remember them, but I've had readings, and the readings have been very helpful.
And have
helped me.
Now, Gil, do you have any recollection of your grandfather?
And no, he died before I was born.
I see. That's interesting. Gil, you did delve into a lot of the Atlantean prophecies that Edgar Cayce, your late grandfather, talked about. Are you? How is that work going for you? And can you tell us a little bit about the work in your book?
Oh, well, actually, I would throw that back to Dad. He's the one that wrote the first book on Atlantis, and that was Edgar Cayce on Atlantis. That was written back in the 60s. And
I see.
Yeah, Dad, myself, and Doug Richards wrote the more recent one, Mysteries of Atlantis Revisited. And go ahead.
Well, how did that book come about, Edgar?
The one that... I wrote about Atlantis. I just was interested in Atlantis, and I wanted to get all the readings together about it, and I got them together and wrote a book about it.
Well, I remember, you know, too, Dad, when you first started thinking about that, you had seen in the life readings a mention of Atlantis, and that seemed so far out that you decided you were going to go through all the life readings and find out how many of them mentioned Atlantis and what it had to say. And I can remember you going down to the the basement there when they had the stuff on microfilm and going through that stuff and coming back and shaking your head and saying, it's hard to believe, but whatever he was pulling on, that the story was so very, very consistent, life reading to life reading, with regard to the history of Atlantis and what the story was, that he didn't make mistakes, if you will, in terms of the timeline on all the different people's readings, as to the same story would come out throughout that entire set of readings.
Can I ask, I don't know who would like to answer this, either you, Edgar, or you, Gail. What relevance do you feel that this, you know, that your father's readings or your grandfather's readings have in today's society, in today's world?
Well, I think they are really, I say there were about 14,000 readings, and about 60% of them were physical readings. That was the ones they had mostly, and the other 20% life readings, and the other 20% everything just miscellaneous, everything under the sun. And I think the, of course, the physical readings were the ones that he had mostly. I wasn't there when he was giving readings in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, because I wasn't born yet. But I can remember the story about him. But he was giving readings, and the thing was, at the end of the reading, sometimes a person would ask, "Well, who's going to win the ball game, or who's going to win this horse race, and what?" And he would wake up, and he would have a little stomach feeling upset, or he would feel dizzy, or he would know that there were people were doing something that he was making him ill. And when he found out what it was, he just said, "I'm through. I'm through giving readings. I'm going." He left, picked up his family, and transferred, moved to Alabama. So that's where I was born, in Selma, Alabama. And he opened a photographic studio, and mother used to retouch, his wife used to retouch the pictures, and that's what he did. He got a woman there, Gladys Davis, who was a real good stenographer.
Well, when he went to Selma, he, you know, vowed he wasn't going to give readings anymore.
Right.
And then Hugh Lynn, his older son, was playing with flash powder that he used for pictures, and it blew up in his face. And the doctor said that there was
probably
nothing
they
could do that he probably would never see. And Hugh Lynn, who knew that his dad had given readings, beseeched him to give him a reading. I don't think he was more than 5 or 6 or 7 years old. And Mr. Casey did, and he got well, or he regained his sight. And as a result of that, he decided that he ought to begin again. I mean, his whole reason, I think, why he has this gift to a certain degree was that he wanted very much to help other people. And that's unusual, perhaps, to want to be of service to people beginning at such an early age as a child. But at any rate, I think probably, too, from past lives, he developed this particular gift. But according to him, everybody has the potential to be psychic. It's just a matter of developing it.
And, well, I
and that
absolutely,
again demands an awful lot of service to other people.
I absolutely believe that we all have the ability, and I think that the clearer one's body, mind, and spirit is, the more easily they're able to access that. We have a question from a treatise in the United Kingdom that just came through that I find very interesting. And he asks, considering the late Edgar Casey was seemingly spiritually powerful, have you ever felt the presence of your father since his death? Or have you ever received a message from your dead father?
I haven't. I haven't seen any, have any effects of it. I didn't have any experiences with him appearing, appearing in a dream or anything like that since he was dead. But I still enjoyed his readings, enjoyed working with him, and learning what was in some of the physical readings and what was in some of the life readings. I was interested in what he said about Atlantis. I was interested in what he said about particular problems in physical readings, because I had a burn that that was helped a whole lot by a physical reading.
We have another question from Mike in California, and he asked, does either Edgar or Gail feel that Atlantis will rise again, as I believe Edgar Casey once predicted?
You want to take that one?
Well, there's a lot of people have done some work around the Bahamas and off of the east or east in the ocean, and they have found some relics interesting formations in the ground in off of the coast of far off of Bimini and off of there used to be Atlantis was supposedly had formations in the oceans, and when it sunk, it some of it was it sunk about 20,000 years ago, and some of the I know there's some geologist went down to in the area of where Atlantis was supposed to lay, and took carbon datings of he dug down into the ocean.
Samples
of
the Earth.
And it was down. It went down about 15 or 20 feet, and that was the time or the age of that Earth suddenly changed. Went from 5 or 10,000 years ago to 15 or 20, and that showed that that part of the Earth had been above the surface in the past. So they are still working around that area to see what they can find, or if they can find any evidence of that prior continent.
Well, I would say, too, I don't know if it's going to rise again, but I'd say you'd have to wait and see. There are an awful lot of changes in the Earth occurring right now.
There most certainly is. And your father did predict, Gail, your grandfather did predict in many of the Earth changes, did he not?
Yeah, he predicted a lot. Whether or not they're going to occur remains to be seen. But it's interesting. I know a lot of the earthquakes are land Earth changes that he predicted. A lot of them are in the eastern part of the United States. If you look at a geological, there was a survey done by geologists to determine the grid work of the United States, what would happen if there were a catastrophic event. And the areas that they pinpointed as areas most likely to have a large earthquake, and their whole thing was that it wasn't a question of if, it was a question of when, were the very areas that Mr. Casey had said throughout some of these readings might be affected.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Edgar and Gail, didn't Edgar Casey also predict some major Earth shifts, parting of the United States as well as other areas of the world?
He suggested major Earth changes within the U.S. as well as, like you said, other parts of the world. I mean, he actually, as I remember, said something about polar shifts, but again, I don't have the exact quotes at my hand, and so I don't want to
go much further than that. Right, well, I understand.
Maybe you ought to have some people that call in to ask the questions. And
We do have another question here from Dave in Canada. And Dave asked, did Edgar Cayce do any predictions for the present time?
For the what?
For the present time.
For the present time?
I think he had, wasn't there a series of about 7 major predictions that he had, Edgar?
There was a jet going over, couldn't hear you. I tell you, one thing that, again, where you can find exact quotes with regard to that, there's a book, and I believe the ARE sells it, called Earth Changes, and it was done by an actual geologist, though he didn't use his name because he didn't want to. But it's just a pamphlet, and he went through an awful lot of the material in the readings with regard to Earth Changes and sorted it through. I would suggest that in terms of getting exact quotes and exactly what Mr. Cayce said, that might be one of your more, concise booklets or pamphlets to answer your question. I don't have it at my fingertips right now, so I don't feel comfortable saying, hey, he said this or that without looking directly at the quote or at the readings. But there are books written that address that.
Yeah, I think probably one of the best books about Edgar Cayce was written by Tom Shugrue, and that Tom is dead now, but there is a river, and that's the name of the book. And Tom used to work for the American Magazine, Herald Tribune newspapers, and he went from he was my brother's roommate in college, and he went from about 180 pounds down to about 80. He was paralyzed from his head down, he could move his head a little bit, couldn't move anything else. And the doctor said, you know, you can go somewhere and die, nothing we can do for you. And he, of course, since he was had my brother's roommate in college, his brother wanted him to get a reading. I helped carry him upstairs. He went from 180 to about 80 pounds. He came down, his wife brought him down to the beach where he was in New York when we were living at the Virginia Beach, and he brought him down there, and he got readings there, and he wrote the book after he got well. He never did get so he could walk without crutches, but he did get so he could go back to his job, and even made a trip to the Mideast. And so I think the fact that he was his readings were so successful that in getting him well, and the fact that he was there to talk to my mother and my father and my brother and myself, and that he was interested in talking to all of us. He was the only person, I think, that had stayed there that long and had conversations with the whole family, and so he probably had the best information about the work that anyone else has. A lot of people have written about Edgar Cayce, but they didn't know the family that well. They didn't have that much experience with the readings, and none of them were as accurate as that book.
Well, it's interesting. And for those of you that Gail had mentioned, the Edgar Cayce ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment. This is a foundation set up by followers and of Edgar Cayce's prophecies. And I believe there's a website you can go to, www.edgarcayce.org, and there you can find out more information about the prophecies, about all of the unbelievable thousands and thousands, I mean, literally voluminous information that they're still assessing. If they're not, are they not still assessing all of this information?
Well, there's a tremendous amount of information there. And like Dad said, the largest percentage of it is on just that, the physical. And I think people get kind of hung up in the prophecies here and there. But if you were to look at the entire bulk of the work, you would find that the prophecies are a minute part, and probably, too, that it offers a tremendous amount on just the medical or research physical level. If you were to research all of the material given on a specific disease, that you would find, well, like I said, I've been through all of the readings on specific diseases and found that there is a tremendous, consistency in terms of the treatment that he recommends. And that if you were to do some real in-depth research on that, that you may end up coming up with something that would be quite helpful, not only to individuals of that disease, but medicine in general. I know Mr. Casey himself actually gave a voluntary reading where he said that there was much that this organization could give to the world that's puzzled both the, rich or the wise and the foolish, and that was on one subject, and that subject was epilepsy. Study it for 3 years and you'd be undefeatable. That's never happened in terms of someone studying it for 3 years. A small study was done by Dr. Pankey back in the 1960s, which was just sorting through the material that had been indexed at that time and arranging it such that he gave us a brief on the generalities of the cause as well as the generalities of the cure. They're at the present time doing a study that can easily be done, i.e. Mr. Casey said that every true epileptic had a cold spot on the right side of their abdomen because what causes seizures was lesions in the lacteal ducts in that area and causes a incoordination between sympathetic and cerebral spinal. And right now there's a group, or I believe it's in conjunction with the University of either New Mexico or Arizona and an epilepsy foundation in Florida, and they're comparing there's a machine that can determine your heat in your body by, you know, taking a picture of it, and they determine whether or not comparing individuals who have epilepsy, whether they have a cold spot, to individuals who don't. And that's in process right now. But that's just trying to, if indeed it comes out so it's a significant difference, people might be more interested in exploring the material in terms of generalities and how a treatment or what a treatment consists of. But I think the same thing can be done with other diseases.
I have to tell you, being a member of the holistic community, I know for a fact that many, many people follow the advice that Edgar Casey came upon during his trance-like states, and he did give some solid suggestions about many, many things, everything from cold sores to,
just the cold. I know another disease that's really quite interesting was psoriasis. One of the main treatments on that was osteopathic treatment and diet. And there was a chiropractor, Dr. Pagano, that had several patients that had psoriasis, and he used photographs and did before and after the individual's skin before they began the treatment and their skin throughout the treatment as it began to heal. And, I mean, it's kind of difficult to argue with that. The individuals got well following the treatment that Mr. Casey suggested.
Individuals
can come to the ARE now. That's and they have made up files at all the different diseases that people have, and you can look up what they say about a particular disease, a particular problem that people have, and I think that's one of the big things that that people can come down to the ARE to look at to see what they say about any problem that they have, and it's an unusual spot. Not many.
And they do have the entire collection at their disposal, if I'm not mistaken.
The whole collection is there. Plus, it's available to people who are members of the ARE online. The material has since been computerized. However, there's, from my viewpoint, that huge amount of material that I think is invaluable is useless unless it's indexed well. A primitive index has been made when the readings were first well, they made them so that they took the names off and made them available to the public. But I think from my viewpoint, the indexing itself needs a lot of updating, and that takes qualified people and time and money. And right now, I don't know if that's the major thrust of the organization. But like I said, the material itself is available to anybody who's a member of the ARE online.
And people can come down there and look and see whether they have any readings about any problems that they have. So
exactly, which is a wonderful reference for a lot of people. Wonderful. Now, we do have a question from Lewis in Ohio. Lewis asks, could Edgar Evans tell us what kind of man his father was? Was he a strict disciplinarian, religious? Did he have hobbies, a sense of humor? Any particular things that come to mind about his father that he remembers?
Well, Dad did used to teach in a church Sunday. He taught Sunday school in a Presbyterian church at the beach. He was he had read the Bible several times, and he was a very good Sunday school teacher. And what kind of person he was? He was physical. He played a little bit of golf, but he never was real good at it. But he used to go on the beach with Mother and us, and he was. Tried to, you know, kept in good physical condition, and he enjoyed getting out in the sun and getting walking along a beach, and enjoyed the exercise.
He was a pretty good cook, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's a little bit about the kind of person that Edgar Casey was on a personal level. I think that what interested and fascinated most people is the fact that Edgar Casey was just a regular old guy. And
I didn't hear you. What'd you say? He was what?
Just a regular guy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he wasn't somebody abnormal or not able to people talk to. He liked to talk to people. He liked to be out and do what everybody else did. He was very
social.
Regular, like I say, he was a regular person.
And very social from my understanding of everything that I've ever read about him. We do have another question. This is from someone in the United Kingdom. And this someone asked, did Edgar Casey mainly cover American culture in his predictions? Did he ever predict or talk in depth about other cultures outside of America, India, Africa, or China? The EG, I'm not sure what the EG is.
Well, he would, a lot of people would have readings about other countries, and he would say you would answer questions about them just like he would answer questions about the United States.
He did, have a prophecy of future events. And in the future events, did he not mention Libya, the area of Libya, Yemen, the Arabian Peninsula, for example?
I think he said that, you know, the future wasn't fixed, that you couldn't really determine what was going to happen because it was too much subject to changes. And I think he did talk about what other countries and about people would ask questions about him. He would answer questions about him, but I don't think that there was any one that any other country particularly that was any different than what people know about him now.
I think one of the other interesting things about Edgar Casey and his work, and the fact that there was so many areas that he touched on in it during his life, is that you can spend a lifetime in an area that you find interesting that he did touch upon, whether it was reincarnation, whether it was his healing practices and suggestions. He also had suggestions about just the regular course of events in a person's life, dealing with personal issues, relationship issues, everything under the sun.
Yeah, I think he did have readings on a lot of different other countries and about people having questions about other countries, and he would answer them just like he would answer questions about the United States or anywhere else.
I think here's a quote, and this is an interesting, well, it's not a quote, it's actually a question and an answer. The question was posed to Edgar Cayce, what is the highest possible psychic realization? And his answer, that God, the Father, speaks directly to the sons of man. He was a firm believer in God, and yet he was a firm believer in reincarnation. Some people call that a contradiction.
Well, I don't think it's a contradiction. I think if you think about it, it isn't. God, if God created man, he certainly, and according to the Bible, he did. And I think it, of course, it's, there are a lot of different religions now, and some of them have believe in reincarnation, some of them don't. But they, readings indicate that God did create man originally, and that man was kind of let go on this earth to do what he wanted to do, and he had gotten himself separated from God, and he needed to get back. And that I think it is a possibility that he can, or he might.
Well, something too, when you talk about what's the highest spiritual state of man. If you look at, whether you believe in reincarnation or not, that, as far as I'm concerned, is neither here nor there. If believing in reincarnation helps you understand things better, great. If it doesn't, leave it alone. But in terms of saying what is the highest spiritual state of man, this is just an opinion, but I think it's probably making a concerted effort to be one with God or creative force. And there are a lot of ways to approach that or to make it happen, and I think probably one of the best ways physically is to be of service to your fellow man.
And he was that. He often worked with children. That was one of his main goals in life, was to help children. He always reached out.
Yeah,
to help other people.
And how did he do that? In what ways did he help outside of his
readings? Through giving his readings for people who were ill. You know, most of the people that asked for readings, the majority of that stuff were folks that were seeking help.
Yeah, the majority of the readings were physical readings, and a lot of them were on children. A lot of readings that given on children, and the children didn't know about them until maybe 40 or 50 years later. I know Gail was working with someone that was looking up readings on people that had children or children that had readings that didn't know about it.
Oh, who's in charge of this kind of work, Gail? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, we were trying to identify the individuals that were still alive that had life readings. And what we scouted out about 60, and in the process sent them all a questionnaire relevant to their life reading and got them to rate it on a scale, the statements on a scale from 1 to 5 as to whether it was not relevant at all or extremely relevant. We're in the process right now of getting all of that back, and hopefully we would like to, we got about a 60-65% response from the people we sent it to, and we have put that all together and are in the process of trying to get someone to do a statistical study with the control group to see if they were to run the same type of questionnaires, what's the difference between individuals who had a reading and their responses and folks who didn't? And I don't know whether, but one doctor says that he doubts it, quote unquote, proves reincarnation, but it certainly would prove that Mr. Casey was touching on something that was true. If the end of, you have a far greater percentage of individuals answering those questionnaires that are, they apply to me, not apply to me.
Very interesting. And this is an ongoing project, Gail?
Yeah, it's been going on for about 3 or 4 years, and we're in the process right now. A doctor has it who's trying to find an individual that will do the control study.
Very interesting. Yeah, I can imagine them. Well, the control study, I mean, where would one start with as much work as he has done and as many readings as he has done?
Well, the idea was simply to determine, well, first of all, you got the responses from the individual who had readings. And the statements from everybody's specific reading, it was amazing how on target Mr. Casey was. These people, majority of the responses were that it applies to me very, you know, highly. And that's what Dr. Kahn was saying, is that if you didn't have a reading and you gave an individual the same questionnaire and asked them to rate it, that there would be a very big difference between the individual who had a reading and the individual who didn't. And basically, in terms of what it proves, it would be more simply to the generality that Mr. Casey was touching on something and something that was a correct in majority of the time.
We have a couple of questions here that I'd like to try to get in, and I find this one to be fascinating. One of the things that we have talked about earlier in the show is that your father and grandfather, respectively, believed that everybody had the ability to be psychic. Now, given that circumstances, have either one of you or anyone in your family manifested any of the similar powers that your father and grandfather had?
My brother and I neither had any of the abilities that my dad had. I think people develop those abilities over a period of lifetimes. I don't think they are necessarily the same family. So my brother was worked with the ARE a lot more than I did. I was went out and got a job as an electrical engineer in a power company. So, and that was suggested by the reading that do you get into that kind of work?
But I don't think anybody in the family per se has anything near the ability that Mr. Casey has. Or had. I've never seen anybody manifest that I know in the family.
We'd have to start a whole new Akashic library for the next family member. There is another question that we have here, and this is from Atreides in the United Kingdom. Thank you, Atreides, for joining us tonight. The question, did Edgar Casey ever talk about the 2012 galactic alignment, and did he ever talk about the galactic center?
I don't remember any readings about it. Do you, Gail?
No.
Very interesting. I wonder what he would have thought about all the... Well, let me ask you, knowing him, Edgar, what do you think your father would have thought about the state of affairs today in our country and in our world? I know it's speculation on our part, but do you think he'd? I personally would think he'd be pretty dissatisfied with what's happening.
I think he'd be pretty disappointed. I know he often said that the state of events or state of affairs in a country, whatever, is dependent very much upon what the people believe and do. I know there was one quote with regard to Atlantis. He was talking about a lot of people, old Atlanteans, were coming back into the Earth again. And he was comparing, or basically saying, look what they did last time around. What are you going to do this time around? And it's sort of in your hands. What are you going to do? You're going to be positive with regard to the things that you discover or have at your hands, or are you going to use it or abuse it? And I guess the choice is up to us. each one of us on a daily basis as well as on a collective basis.
Edgar Cayce believed in the ability of mankind to change their future and their destiny, didn't he?
Yeah. Again, the choice is yours.
That's right. He's been, people either have the choice of doing doing right or doing wrong. What you decide to do is really up to each individual. And that's what Cayce seemed to imply, that people should try to work together and not try to be selfish.
Bob there's another question. Bob from Arizona. Me and my friends have had success using food-grade hydrogen peroxide in treating conditions and ailments. Do the guests know if Edgar Cayce ever mentioned the use of hydrogen peroxide to treat minor or serious conditions such as cancer? Now, I know that I have read a lot of his predictions on health, and yes, I know for a fact that he has mentioned hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah, I could say yes, too, but I can't say exactly what for.
I can't either, but I know for a fact I've run across that many, many times in my readings about Edgar Cayce. So let me see. Did Edgar Cayce believe in extraterrestrials, and what role did he feel they played or would play in human development?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh.
I mean, part of it is no questions were asked with regard to that. You know, right now you wonder deeper if he were around now, it would be fun to ask him an awful lot of questions that nobody got around to asking, because the majority of that material, again, was on physical ailments.
People came to
him.
Yeah,
and a lot of it was given back in the time that people were, I say they were, concerned with the physical ailments. Most of the readings were physical readings, and probably 60% of them were, whereas the life readings were something that came along later, and the other readings that everything under the sun came along later.
And then, too, I think one of the things that we have to remember, some of these readings were done over 100 years ago. Some of these things were never issues.
Right.
That's right.
He did predict a lot of things back there in terms of developments. I know there's one reading where what he's describing sounds very much like a laser, and he even gives a time, I believe, as to when something like this is going to be discovered, and it has been, that
yes.
type of thing. Again, he's talking back in the 20s and the 30s, and most people back then wouldn't know what in the world he was talking about.
He also talked about various types of energy that would be coming up.
Right. And again, too, again, put that question before folks, what are you going to do with it? You know, set before you right now, good and evil, choose out. Which one are you going to choose?
Which one are you going to choose,
Which one are you going to choose? That is an interesting, that's it. But now, in all fairness, though, to the Cayce readings, I know for a fact that he did speak of new developments in the field of cosmology, the Palladium galaxy was something that he spoke about. So I don't think that it was necessarily about ET or extraterrestrials, but he did talk about the new frontiers that are being discovered as we speak, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Louise in Colorado, this is an interesting question. I'd like to get this in. Louise in Colorado asks, are there any macabre predictions that your father made that you feel stand out from the rest or even frightened you?
Any predictions that he made?
That would have
that might have been more frightening above anything else.
I don't think, I don't remember as many Cayce's is many making a lot of predictions, particularly. He was, most of the readings then were physical readings, and they were life readings, and they were other readings just under all kinds of things. But at the time, things, you know, 100 years ago when he was living, it was different.
I want to thank you both for being with us tonight. Edgar Evans Casey and Gail Casey Schwartz. I appreciate this. It's been a fascinating understanding. And I hope to see hear you doing well, Edgar. I know at 97, you keep on ticking.
Yeah, I'm 94 now.
94? Oh, wow. Yeah. I thought you were 97.
Don't push it up too much.
But,
My wife died early.
She was 92. I was 94. We'd been together 75 years.
Well, God bless.
I really miss her.
Well, God bless. Thank you very much, and it was wonderful having you tonight. Thank you, everyone. I look forward to next week. I'm not sure who's going to be here filling in for me for a little while yet, but thank you very much.
Okay. Well, we enjoyed it. Enjoyed talking to you, and I hope people can still come down to the ARE or write to the ARE if they have any problems that they would like to solve.
Thank you very much. Good night, everyone. Bye-bye. Let the people speak.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.